some of the recent movies like London Has Fallen, Olympus Has Fallen. Well, even the history of nations, you have those behind the scenes. They want to change. They want to get rid of the current leaders. They want to build a underpinning. And so a coup, a revolt in the Greek polices, this happened all the time, that involves subterfuge, that involves sabotage, that involves those who are infiltrated into the political power systems. And they work there, they have like a mask, they're operatives, but behind the scenes, they're on the other side. Whether they're just spying and reconning or sowing disinformation or discord, many times they're planted and then they're very embedded, but they're there to bring down the current system and change it well into the new. That's all true also about the coming New World Order stuff. It will never be voted in. It's not going to come by just a couple of regional things. It's too big, it's too global, and it's too supernaturally empowered. Hey, Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast, this is Russ Dizdar. Glad you're here tonight. We're getting ready to do tonight. I don't know if we're going to do part 10, 11, 12. We're at part 9 right now tonight. Questions, where did they begin? Where are they? What are they doing right now? And what are the plans? So if you think in terms of, it's one thing to think in terms of a local city, a basic nation, and we see this worldwide. Anybody reading history, you're going to see this go on all the time. You're going to see again and again where nations are toppled. Even the prophecies in Daniel, the fall of the Babylonians, the rise of the Medes and the Persians, and then the Greeks, and then the four breakdowns there. And well, it kind of seems like this goes on for millennia. Some are in power, others eventually want to get there. In places where there's great oppression and horrific and just ideologies, even when it comes down to religion and so forth, because some nations are not going to permit certain things. Daniel in Babylon, he had the political, the spiritual side, everything about it, and then the military side enforces the power, and that's the strong arm. So in order for a global Luciferic Antichrist oriented new world order that God has given great insight to, that the occultists and the New Age and many others seem to proclaim and want to herald in, because they drank the Kool-Aid. They have drunk the Kool-Aid. Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. That is the website behind all this. And we love you today. Glad you're here today. And we are trying to give the insight that gives the answers to the vast disturbing issues that are going on in the world and what seems to be global, not just regional, though worldwide, numerous little wars, numerous skirmishes, numerous threats to existing powers. That's true in UK and France and Germany and the disruptions there. And Yemen right now is under siege. Let's talk about personal and individual. New York Post. You know what they put up there? Now, I've done this before about Lucy Liu and other Hollywood stars and even a international model. I believe she was from the Czech Republic. Here's the title. Woman had sex with 20 ghosts, is now engaged to a spirit. So a British woman who claims she slept at least with 20 ghosts, that is spirits, that is demons. I don't know what she knows about all this, but the fact is that when you get, the darker you go, left-hand path, I mean, you got in Crowleyism, sex magic, tantra, in the Hinduistic versions of things. You have this among the Nicolaitans, you have this Well, even in the New Age, you have this. Globally, the tens of thousands engaged by spirits coming into the room. They call it sleep paralysis, but now the truth is coming out that the entities that are causing the paralyzing effect, they want to engage sexually. That, listen, fallen angels know all about this, as we read in Genesis 6. That is true in the kinds of rituals. Even if you look at the calendar, you're going to see even last night, tonight, and all across the board, the ritual abuse calendar, sex rituals, connected many times with the blood rituals. It's just all a part of that. And it has something to do with the physics of attachment, the physics of entrance, the physics of opening doors, the physics. I mean, when I say physics, I mean the work of the demons to actually, the Greek word, diamonozoid, to mount, to attach, to possess fully and own and use. Well, there's many, many, many kinds of sex rituals. And many times, in most, there's victims, even in the Black Mass, which is to be done as a blasphemy against the Catholic system, the Catholic Mass, Latin backwards, the chalice, what's in there, the blood, the urine, the drugs, the whatever else, the virgin on the altar, the baby to be sacrificed. You know, all of that is done literally as opposed to the Catholic Mass, the Catholic system. So, but that involves the sex side. Worldwide, every single ritually abused, I'm talking satanic ritual abuse, because this is the time to talk about it. Every one of the victims have gone through sexual rituals, transference of demons, and part of it deals with even making in the splitting of personality and programming personality. Many times that involves creating altars that are going to be doing nothing but sex and be used for money. So satanic ritual abuse is the largest human trafficking system, the most destructive, the most altering, and well, it plays into the fulfillment of prophecy. There is no Antichrist into the world, New World Order, without the largest, most powerful, most advanced warriors, troops of Antichrist. Now, I told somebody in Georgia, and I think I said it publicly too, you know, in 40 years or so more, I've never heard a sermon biblically on prophecy of the troops of Antichrist. Maybe somebody mentioned the Antichrist. Maybe somebody mentioned the future as if it was 100 years away. But again, that's a massive lack of knowing the content. The content is to put you current. It's to give you discernment. It's to give you the ability to see and discern and to be able to say, like Peter on the day of Pentecost, this, what you're seeing right now, this, what just occurred, is that which the old prophecy in Joel spoke of. All prophecy will have its fulfillment. The majority have been fulfilled. The biggest of all are yet to be fulfilled. And I say that in the dark sense of the culmination. They're going to do more than they've ever done, which brings the world down to its knees, per se. But the biggest prophecy, Jesus is coming. Christ is coming. Immortality, seeing the face of God, the kingdom of God, the end of radical evil, the end of death, the end of hell, the end of all this, and never to begin again. Even prophecy shows us that it will never happen again. Old rugged cross, Jesus of Nazareth, hero of humanity. That's why we need to speak. That's why we need to talk about him and what he's done. Well, again, you look at the cases all over, the girls in Florida, more and more comes out. And how it is with law enforcement, like with Jeffrey Dahmer, Slender Man, and Richard Ramirez, the California Night Stalker, you know, demonized individual, by the way, highly demonized. Same with Sean Sellers, by the way. And there are so many cases. All you have to do is look up. But then you have, on the one hand, the suppression of the satanic mode, you know, mode of operation, or the the motivation to the crimes. So I'm going to tell you again, been doing this for a long time, you're going to see far more crimes connected to the actual ritual dates. Now, tonight being October 31st, you've got, what do you have tonight? You got human sacrifice. What'd you have last night? Blood. What are you going to have tomorrow? So you have a number of days right now that are on the satanic ritual abuse calendar that all refer to that. Anybody worldwide working with ritually abused, they're going to be able to tell you how real. They're going to have abreaction and memory and even demonization and human personality that is packed with the pain and the despair and the hopelessness. So here's what I pray today. All of us praying together, we're going to pray right now that God, based on Acts chapter 4, all the way through Acts chapter 8, we're going to ask God, stretch forth your hands. I'm going to ask you to stretch forth your hands, Father, in the name of Jesus, to his honor, to his glory, and because of him and because of his work. Would you stretch out your hands to rescue, to save, to heal, to deliver, to restore, to bring about even extraordinary miracle in lives, that they be delivered from all of this. Everything the enemy has done, God, you know how to bring individuals out of it. You know how to destroy. I'm asking you, based on 1 John 3:8, destroy the devil's work and all that he's done. Right now, as listeners listen, as victims listen, and then all the rest of, I mean, by the thousands that download, I trust the Lord, Lord Jesus, that you would do the amazing work that you came to do, to unleash that good news gospel, to heal brokenhearted, open the eyes of the blind, to bring release to the oppressed. And the prisoner, the idea of total bondage, in the name of the Lord Jesus, may it be broken today, and may God do extraordinary things for listeners today. And every believer, listen, if you want to get there on the field of ministry, be a part of the greatest work in human history, well, that comes from your relationship to the Lord that moves automatically to what you're chosen in Christ to do, the good works. John 15, Acts, reading through Acts, taking a look at Philip. In Acts 8, you're going to see all that God will do through you as you give your life. And what a joy, what an incredible presence of God. And if you know Mark's Gospel 16:20 well, then you have Jesus dwelling in you. The promise in the Great Commission, he's going to be with us to the end of the age. The evidence or the testimony is found in Mark 16:20. And every believer that is stepping up and out in obedience in every way is going to find that to be true. Even right now, as I speak, the Savior is here. Spirit of God is here. We bless him. In God, we love you. Right now, as we get into this, let's ask some questions. Since we've been doing Deeper Than the Deep State, we can take a look at, again, the political rancor, the political battles, the angers that are occurring, and some of the craziness that is going on, shooters and everything else, and the bomb stuff, and we need to look into all of that. We need to look into what is subterfuge, what is deception, what is false flag. I mean, but again, evidential issues. For believers, we're all about truth and evidential issues and what's really there. We can suspect things. We need to pray. We need to look for God to give insight. And take a hold of the prayer in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, and the praise that goes up because God unveiled what nobody else could get to. God showed what nobody else could show. And Daniel gives great praise to God and acknowledges that God knows what lies in darkness. So for those that recon the show, the maguses and wizards and sorcerers and satanic chosen ones, he knows every detail. Nothing is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom they're going to give account to. Take a look at that, Hebrews 4. We love you tonight. We love the victims tonight. And we're praying ultimately to influence 10 million Not just to be aware, not even the idea here is if you can become stronger, that's and then automatically you're going to begin to be what God has intended you to be, in bearing the fruit. So I'm going to say this: don't make God drag you along, because He's intended to take you down that road and grow you. Stand up, open arms wide, step out. The fear is going to go. Concerns about not being able to do things, well, once you step out in obedience, once you discover the Spirit of God's going to help you, once you begin to do things and accomplish things and see and lead people to Christ and actually pray and see somebody get healed and actually use your authority to command a demon away, and realize the power and presence and Jesus is just working in, through, and all around you. So, for the sake of the world, dire circumstance, out of Daniel, out of Matthew 24, out of 2 Thessalonians 2, the mystery of iniquity, the mysterion, this is the interface globally, been saying it, I want you to get the understanding, because on a physical scale right now, it's the most hidden thing. And the supernatural barrier, that's why I'm continually saying that the real system to come is beneath the surface. Now, I'm going to tell you opinion-wise. I believe that the beneath the surface of the deep that we're looking at and people are researching is the broadest, most organized, most by design, multi-continental, globally, it's already developed and in a real sense ready to go. So I'm saying that it is my opinion, based on all the prophecy that I know and all that we know from, you know, a great broad view, the Antichrist has been born and is there and is operative. Now, you know that's going to happen sometime in history. And the false prophet. So the implication is, if we're that far in, then we're just maybe years, or short years. I don't know. Nobody knows the exact time. But 2 Thessalonians 2, when the restrainer, when he is removed, and that's an instantaneous thing, then he, the one that he's restraining, the Antichrist, listed in 2 Thessalonians 2, is the Anthropos Anamos, the man of lawlessness, the beast, because everything, all of the kings that have already aligned with him, false prophet, everything aligns with Homo Satanus. He is the one the restrainer restrains and keeps from his unleashing, the conquest, the white horse. And so when the restrainer, when he is instantaneously removed, you better believe that the Antichrist, all that is developed, all that is plotted, all that is planned, and all of the power that has built up, that's what I'm going to say again, you've got to see it as it's going to be, a massive bulging at the seams, a massive development, a bulging at the seams, per se, that when that restrainer is removed, because the restrainer, with superior force, without strain, is holding back everything we're talking about, the entire Luciferic New Order. He's holding back the multi-continental national collapses. So that which is coming is held back. But again, that's God's sovereign hand. That involves our timetable in the great freedom right now to unleash the gospel everywhere. Take advantage. We're to redeem the time, Ephesians 5, right? Redeem the time. The days are evil. So, listen, why just play around? Why just waste time? Why just do nothing? And I'm going to tell you that there is so much incredible to do, you're never going to look back once you step out and begin to do. And that's what I see in the book of Acts, again. If you look at Peter and Barnabas and Stephen, and down the road with Paul and then Philip, and on it goes. It's just the most incredible place to be. It's the number one place God is at work, by the way. So he's going to deal with holding back. Now, in God's timetable, not Satan's. Satan's ready. Satan's pushing. They're there. They're ready to go, per se. They're ready to move, but God restrains. When he's removed, when he, the restrainer's removed, then again, nobody needs to call anybody. In most places of the world, the breaking out, which is what? The instant there's a release of the Antichrist, there is a conquest, white horse. Revelation 6 comes into play here. Everything it warns, everything it tells, it instantly, the global red horse event, Arene, peace, is taken from the whole earth instantly. And then all of a sudden, individuals begin to slaughter. And we're probably talking hundreds of millions. Svadzo, as in ritual animal sacrificial butchery. That's how it's going to be. It actually, when I've had undergrounders describe the Satanic Black Awakening, their goal to bring it all down, the Satanic Super Soldiers, programmed killer shooters, all that, that's how they explain it. But God's ahead of all that. He's already done that. And so when that massive bloodshed and their goal to eliminate resistors, and when all that is pouring out on the field of human history, nobody's going to have to ask. It's not just a shooter in Vegas. It's you're talking tens of thousands of shooters and bombers and killers and those hunting down those who'd been targeted, resistors to get rid of. So this massive anarchy, obviously martial law. I've tried to give you a picture of Red Horse, the Black Horse, and the beginnings of the Pale Green Horse in that first. It's kind of a picture that I would picture that in the book, The Black Awakening. Now, when all that occurs, of course, it continues to move. It gets worse, 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 until then, with the collapse economic, of all the, economy issues and the food chain issues. Well, obviously, it moves into the next come and see, Pale Green Horse, and it's some calculate 2.5 billion dead by, in those words used, then skirmishes, not global war, skirmishes of war, famine, pestilence that may include the chemical, biologicals, and so forth, and the beasts, the Therion, most likely the Satanic super soldiers. Well, that's all involved. That all comes down. Now, I'm going to give you some homework here today because that involves the four first seals. Take a look at the next three because it covers everything in the last 7 years. And it's going to tell you very clearly. I don't know if you've read the seven seals as a whole. And I know I've heard people say, well, the Lord showed me they opened years ago. No, nothing has occurred yet. The Antichrist hasn't been released into activity. So if we don't have White Horse Antichrist, then you have nothing yet. So when he is released, instantly he releases what is plotted, what is by design. Don't think that the coming chaos and collapse of nations and all of the current existing stuff is by accident or random. It'll be bloody, it'll be chaotic, it'll be loud. You got to realize there's no question grids are going to be down, internet's going to be, all kinds of things are going to be down. And by the time it all clears, but I want to give you something, because it is the God-given exposing of dark side's radical unleashing into the world. Now, have you read Revelation 6:9? When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony they had held. So I'm going to tell you out of the first four seals, and I'm telling you, out of the Red Horse, Black Horse, Pale Green, but specifically the Red Horse, the Black Awakening type event, this is where they are looking to get rid of, and there will be persecution. Will they eliminate Christianity? No. Are they going to kill everybody? No. But they're going to get millions out of the way. This is the word of God and prophecy. Nobody really likes it. This is the dark side's development. They are bringing the Antichrist. They are bringing the false prophet. They're going to open the abyss. They're going to do Armageddon. They're going to unleash more demons than ever in human history. They're going to do this Red Horse thing. It's them. It's the collective. It's the mysterium. It's the deeper than the deep state. Plotted out. More by design. More organized than any nations and all their stuff. And so when the killings and slaughtering, and this is going to go over a number of years. Some believe the entire seven seals involves the entire 7 years of all the stuff. But let me just stop here to say in verse 9 that those who had been killed, those who had been slaughtered, those who had been, the prayers that have gone up and the unleashing of the prayers, the response, they're crying out, "How long, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then now the earth dwellers, or the inhabitants of the earth, you're going to see that a lot in Revelation, in reference to those who are going to embrace the Antichrist, and they're going to do the evil that he, Satan in human skin, wants. Well, here's what it says in verse 11. "Then a white robe was given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers would be completed, who would be killed as they were." So in the 7 years, I mean, take a look at Revelation 7 sometime. Broader martyrdom and persecution is going to occur. But I want to get to verse 12. I want to mention this concerning, again, this new Luciferic world order that is already, it has to be, it already is embedded, and it is in the shadows. Biblical, you know, prophecy demands that it is and shows that it is before it comes out, Revelation 13. Verse 12, Revelation 6, "I watched as he opened the sixth seal, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. The sun became black like sackcloth made from goat hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to earth as a fig tree drops its unripe figs when it is shaken by a strong wind. Then the heavens receded like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed." Now we're talking all God unleashing judgment, God moving, God, you know, this is where we come to the very end of things. Here's what the real Luciferians do. You want to know the deeper than the deep state. You want to know what they're going to do? You want to know what the so-called Luciferian elite here, God shows them in the near future here, how they're going to respond. Verse 15, Revelation 6, when God begins to move, when God begins to unleash his wrath, when God begins to interact with all of this, "These who have plotted and brought about the greatest destruction of humanity and to the environment, and the greatest on the field satanization, demonization, radical evil, and all the rest of that." Look at verse 15. "Then the kings of the earth," circle that phrase, "kings of the earth," look back Psalm chapter 2. Look forward Revelation 19:19. You got a link. It's all speaking about the same thing. So verse 15 says, "Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the commanding officers and the strong and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains." Why? Verse 16. "They said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" God in prophecy is unveiling the very words of the Luciferians, the very words of the satanic super soldiers, the very words of the elite kings that have been interfaced with the global satanic demonic collective. The destruction and their coming to power, all that they thought was promised, all of their version of immortality, their version of ruling, their version of being elite, their version of taking over everything, their version of a new world order. The peace, peace, but there is no peace. The sudden destruction. Verse 16, and I think verse 17 is a massive unveiling of the utter powerlessness, fear, realization that everything they did, everything they believed, everything they embraced is lies and ashes and destruction, and they are left with their own sin, with all that they've done, and all their guilt on their own heads. So what do they say in the context of the coming wrath of God? Do you realize the wrath of God, when it comes to that last 7 years, good thing? Do you realize that it's good that God steps in and limits what the non-human beings coming out of the abyss, what they can do, what they can't do? Because barring that, radical evil destroys everything. In lives, radical evil will destroy you. The 10 and 11 year old girls in Florida that set up in the bathroom, had all their tools, they were going to pick on the littler kids and kill 15 of them, then they're going to kill themselves in a direct act of worship to Satan. And then they would have went to hell. Verse 16, listen to prophecy, where God describes the cries, the failure, the loss, and probably the utter fear of all those who thought they'd be the bold, they thought they'd be the strong, they thought they'd be the elite, they thought they'd be supernaturally God's small g. Well, here's what God says is going to happen with them in the near future. They, the fallen, judged, losing Luciferians. Verse 16. They said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us. Let me stop here for a second and just give a suggestion. Why are there so many underground places built all over the planet? Is the dark side guiding the people step by step by step to build the underground places for the sake of the future when the wrath of God comes so they have some place to hide? Those that embrace the Antichrist are going to end up running and hiding and going into the caves, into the rocks, into the mountains, into the underground. And their very words, quote, God quotes them. God does this all the way through prophecy, by the way. He quotes future, you know, the future, the emotions, the actual statements. God in prophecy demonstrates in that infallible futurology. He shows how humans are going to respond, how they're going to feel, what they're going to say, how they're going to cry, in all of this. So the ones that believe that they are going to be the ruling, reigning Luciferian, New World Order folks, here's what they're going to say in that future when the wrath of the Lamb begins. Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne. See, I'm not afraid. I'm going to get to see the one that sits on the throne. You and I look at the last two chapters of the book of Revelation. If you're a believer, we get to see the face of God. We get to see the face of God as new, immortal, glorified, the redeemed. And he wipes away the tears. And this is all about, I mean, now we, the believers, see the face of God, the face of the Savior. And it is a hallelujah. Well, that's why four hallelujahs are in the book of Revelation 19, the first part of that chapter. Get ready. That's showing you as a believer ultimate and eternal immortal, indestructible victory. You got victory now in Jesus. Sing the song, "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior." You need to sing that song. That'd be a great song. I don't have it geared up here. I'd play it. But that'd be a great thing. Go to YouTube, "Oh, victory in Jesus." Sing it all day long. Learn how to sing it. Now, when they say, and listen, they want to hide. They're going to run and hide. They're going to want, it's almost like a suicide thing. They want everything to collapse on them. Why? Because they're more afraid of the wrath of the Lamb. He's coming after radical evil. The wrath of the Lamb demonstrated in Revelation 19, he comes to judge and make war on the satanic, antichrist, kings of the earth, troops, and the entire array around Jerusalem, around Israel, that is there to try to stop him. Verse 17, "For the great day of his wrath has come. Who is able to withstand it?" Oh, they can't. That's why they have Armageddon. They want to stop it. The issue is, as in the first coming, as in all the acts of God, that when God wants to move, when God acts, when he brings down kings, brings down kingdoms, brings new, when he brings Messiah, when he comes, and even the resurrection of Christ, prophesied 1,000 years in advance, Psalm 16, all of this. So for the believer, prophecy should build a hallelujah chorus inside of you. A victory in Jesus. The song should be sung constantly. I'm out riding a motorcycle yesterday for I got about an hour. It's 52 degrees. But I'm sitting on that bike riding down the road singing "Victory in Jesus." Oh, victory in Jesus. I don't know if you... How about the blood of Jesus? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? See, we're not, as a believer, you're not ordained for the wrath of God. You're not going to experience it. The wrath of the Lamb and the wrath of God, the targeting of the radical embracers of the satanic beliefs and agenda and those that are destroying the earth and etc. So that's why I think it's good to read the book of Revelation. By the way, we have it up. We have all chapters. We have chapter by chapter. I think 60 hours of stuff up there. It's all the audios are free. Where does all this begin? Well, I wanted to say that in the beginning right now. Think in terms of where it begins. It does begin back to Genesis 3:15. There is a prophetic, the first prophecy, as everybody knows it, about the coming of Messiah and what's going to happen and how he's going to bring destruction to Satan. Again, 1 John 3:8, he comes to destroy. And obviously, you know, his birth, his life, his ministry, the engagement Satan brings, the attempts, even when Satan enters Judas to betray Christ, have him put on the cross, the resurrection. This blasts the dark side out of the water. It's nothing but victory from the heavens up to your life right now. God's massive, mammoth, great, indestructible gospel involves the destruction of radical evil. That and again, you can take a look at Colossians 2:15, and you can take a look at this in Revelation 6 and the ultimate end of this. So it's not just the four seals. That the first four deals with what that side's going to do and the massive destruction they're going to bring. So everyone that says they're going to be a part of this masqueraded new world order that Satan and the real Luciferians are promoting. Well, it begins in Genesis 3:15. There's going to be a war. In the Old Testament, it really is kind of the MO of the Old Testament, the constant demonic demon gods embracing and engaging, whether that's the Baals, Moloch, and many of the others, Nebo and everything else. And any and all of those was all about the erasure of God, the removal of God and replacing God in the lives of the individuals to embed and so forth. And that's why Israel constantly had trouble. The dark side's constantly trying to send and engage and draw Israel away into the sin, into the compromise. And we see that happen again and again and again all the way. You know, take a look at Ezekiel 8, the underground. And so they do the same thing. It's the same MO. The same doctrine, the lies about God, the promises about becoming your own God, and it never worked. It never happened in all the millennia. It always brings destruction and death and separation from God. It's where the misery comes in. So, by the providence of God for the satanic chosen ones, those who are reconning the show in the shadows, you have nowhere to hide. It's not as if God hasn't seen everything you've already done. The blood of Jesus, what Christ has done on the cross. You ever read in the gospel, in the book of Ezekiel 33, 34, great study chapters, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they turn. So by the Spirit of God and by the leading of the Spirit of the Lord, a word to the Satanist, a word to the summoners and conjurers and necromancers and wizards and maguses and the rest. The blood you embrace, the demons you embrace, the demon gods, the powers, what you feel, all leads to the embrace of deception and you being locked in. Bondage. The wrath of God is coming, obviously. You're being used, obviously, and the end, total destruction. You'll be lost forever, and God takes no pleasure in that, but it will happen. Today, as you hear, don't harden your heart. Today, as you hear, the Spirit of God is speaking. Spirit of God is calling. Spirit of God is summoning. God is calling around the planet for people, lives, individuals, intel agents, monitors in China, Russia, everywhere else. It's time to repent, turn, bow your knee to the Savior that died for you. Take a read of the Gospel of Mark. Take a look if you never have before. This Savior, God in human flesh, He's come to seek you. He's come to save you. He's come to forgive you. He's come to release you and dwell in you, give you a new nature, power, the gift of eternal life, a relationship, freedom from Satan, from ultimate death, and from the ultimate hell itself. What are you going to do? Right now, the world, the new world order, that which is to come, that which we see in prophecy and the destruction that it brings, has to have decades of development and has to be in place. It can't break open if there's no Antichrist. It can't occur if there's no false prophet. So the birth of the Antichrist, which is by design, and the false prophet and all the rest, has to be in the context of what's already built in the underground. See, a lot of this underground, like Bohemian Grove, Mother of Darkness Castle, Skull and Bones, and the deepest and even the unnamed so-called secret societies. You can say Illuminati, you can say the ancient brotherhood, the Luciferians, you can say all of that. The mystery, all that goes back to Semiramis, to Nimrod, back to Babylon, ancient. All of that back there and its development through the Old Testament is pictures regionally of nations and constantly and the constant drive to the exaltation of demons and demon gods and so forth, and the destruction of God's purpose. The goal for the dark side, stop God. Stop the birth of Christ. Stop Christ from doing his work. Look at Revelation 12. Satan tried to devour the Christ child. Look at Matthew 4. Satan tried to corrupt God in human flesh, the Savior. Truth is, Jesus blew him out of the waters again. Even when it came to the cross, Satan himself enters Judas, to betray the Son of God. So there is no spiritual war. I mean, there is none of this without the actual spiritual war that's raging behind the scenes. You need to know more about that than everything else, because it is the cause of the disturbances, dismantling, destabilization. The spiritual side behind the scenes is that which pushes the nations to battle, which then pushes the nations to build their massive, massive buildup of future weapons that ultimately will be assimilated by that new world order for Armageddon. So I believe there's a lot of weapons being developed, surveillance being developed, technologies being developed in the last number of decades and currently right now that have been inspired spiritually, dark side, because when it comes to Revelation 19:19, they got to have the most advanced weapons, they got to have the most advanced super soldiers, they got to have the most the interface of demon-human empowerment, the weaponization of demonic and satanic powers. The culmination? Armageddon, Revelation 19:19. Where are we right now? Well, again, I would say Matthew 24, the sorrows. Turbulent, anguishing, confusing times in which the world and its billions in the population are concerned. All over the planet, people are dying in starvation, dying in wars, dying in human slavery. There's slaughtering going on that's not in any news anywhere, burying of bodies, getting rid of everything. There's an underground that is so deep, so wide, so broad, so more powerful than the presenting nations. Now, here's how it works, though. They've been operative, and I've told you that my opinion is the final incursion maybe began 80 years ago, regionally, the Nazis and all that occurred there. After the collapse, it didn't collapse totally in a sense. It simply just went worldwide as intended. As intended. So it has to be worldwide, behind the scenes, supernaturally, not by human hands, you know, the development, from beginning to end. This means that behind the scenes, as they develop, they must embed the recruiting, the seducing and recruiting and drawing in. Well, that's been, you know, 80 years, but I want to say that I think some of that has been solidified. And actually in a physical but yet hidden sense, at least four decades or so ago, and broadening for decades, so that a global political connected to military, connected to the wealthy elite and the economy issue, connected to the technological, and with the so-called troops from beginning to end, that have to be there. They have to be there to help bring it all down, and they have to ultimately be there in Revelation 19:19. None of this can happen without satanic super soldiers and that development. And they can't spring onto the world on a multi-continental, multinational way, as we see in Revelation 13. It can't be unleashed on a global scale unless it has been developed, embedded, and operative behind the scenes for decades. Study political coups. Take a look at some of the deep secret societies. Take a look at some of the Roman and French and Renaissance and Robespierre, and take a look at the Germans and the Nazis and the way it worked and Kristallnacht. Take a look at all of this, and you see how the world has worked in this way. But now we're talking the ultimate. Now we're talking the most supernaturally enhanced, empowered, guided, directed, broadest in its global developments. So the recruiting, the educating of, the drawing in of, the demonization of, the securing of, and all of that has been going on for decades and decades and decades. The development of the troops behind the scenes have been going on for, you know, since the 50s, by the way. Satanic ritual abuse, those are the tools to create a master race of soldiers. Like Himmler and Hitler wanted 200 million. They wanted godmen. And that ultimately is what the design behind SRA is all about. And all of those that are coming out, they know that. And I encourage you to tell that as much as you know and bring the exposure. I know that they don't want that. Dark Side doesn't want that. They don't want the secrets out. They hold them. The law of the underground is sheer. It's beyond the drug lords. It's beyond the mafia. It's beyond the intel agencies. It is a secrecy of beyond all and a conspiracy, well, beyond all, but it's real. And 3,000 years ago, a prophecy in Psalm 2 unveils some of it and its ultimate end in Revelation 19:19. Have you read that Psalm 2? Have you taken a really good look at that lately? I mean, that gives the picture of what, and I'm going to say gives the picture of what's been developing behind the scenes. Now, we may see the rage. You know, I can look out there and see the spirit of Antichrist. I can see the Luciferian doctrine. I can see the satanic or demonically charged globalism, the ideas. I can see the dark side's inspiring of technology, space weapons, planetary defense weapons. We can see a lot of things, but the way you understand it is biblical prophecy, biblical teaching, and God giving that vast, advanced intel that we need to use and to say this is that, and to warn, and to speak of the dire things, and then to move to the gospel and the answer and the, well, the ultimate end, because no human will stop the Antichrist. Though there's going to be attempts, we're going to see him die, the resurrection, a counterfeit to Christ. We're going to see all that. Revelation 13. Back to Psalm 2. Here comes God is engaging. He's questioning. Why do the nations rage? And the peoples, the mysterion, the global collective, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves up, the idea of the Hebrew word, gathering together. Here's what it says. And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, Christ. You know what they're saying? Here's what it says. It quotes, saying, let us tear off their bonds and cast away their ropes from us. So the Luciferian, those embracing Satan, those that are going to do the same thing the fallen cherub did in his fall, in his insurrection, and in his ripping away from God and wanting to go on his own and the total destruction there. That's what the fall is. Shoving, guiding humanity to rip away from God. Here's the ultimate thing in the Luciferic globalism and as it's developing, and you can see it in some of the politics today. They want to rip away from God. When you see political parties wanting to have a massive vote on their political platform to vote out God, as they did here in the last number of years and some, you're seeing some of the above ground pieces of what the raging underground is all about and what's to come. So it's the nations, it's the people, it's the kings and rulers. Here's what they're going to do. Gather together against the Lord and against his, who's his anointed? Messiah, Christ. Revelation 19:19, who do they stand and aim their weapons at? Who do they come to make war against? And their declaration, let us tear off their bonds. Let us cast away the ropes from us. You know the next verse is? You ever read verse 4? He who sits in the heavens laughs. He's laughing at the Luciferians. He's laughing at those who've embraced the global Satan demonic collective, those who believe the lie. He's laughing. The Lord ridicules them. And then he will speak to them in his wrath. Didn't we just read about that? Didn't we just read about that in Revelation 6? And terrify them in his burning anger. See, that's all against them. Against those who have slaughtered and killed and subterfuged and destruction and destroyed and enslaved. Verse 6, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. We're talking about Jesus now. 3,000 years in advance. Pretty amazing Savior. See, that's what I'm saying when you understand biblical prophecy. When we look at all the blood and the guts and the destruction and all of the worst and definitively so, yes, that is horrific and bad, but then we see the sovereign outcome and the collapse of that radical evil, the end of that radical evil. And what is the coming of Jesus all about? Well, getting us, John's Gospel 14, going to prepare a place, coming back for those who know him. And then we are the new race of redeemed immortals descending, Revelation 19. Then he comes. The end, what does the second coming of Jesus include? The end of all radical evil, the end of the work of Satan, the end of death, the end of rape, the end of human trafficking, the end of slaughter, the end of lies, the end of political, military, economic corruptions, the end of deceit, the end of rotting in graves, the end of all of that as God in Christ returns and ends all of this. Based on what he did at the cross. He's coming. Hallelujah. Right now, the destabilization, the sorrows, spiritually, culturally, morally, politically, militarily, is going to continue in broader and bloodier and more violent and more angry. And the love of something, there's going to be the love of many going to go, you know, cold. It's going to make many go cold. Now, when you know the answer, you know that the mission of Jesus, you know Christ in you right now, you're going to stand, then you know, like it says in Jude, keep yourself in the love of Christ. When everybody else is growing cold, step out with the love of Christ. Preach the gospel that involves an indestructible immortality and a salvation from God and an end to all the madness. The end to all the madness is coming. It's coming. You're going to see more supernatural, horrific, betrayal and subterfuge and sabotage in political, economic, military, nations, and so forth all around us. You may experience it at work just because of who you are. But the bottom line of all this, all the reality of this coming never negates your salvation, your protection, and your presence of authority and power and mission. We must do to the very end. Can I say, think it in your life, last years, last months, last week, last hours, even the last breath, to the glory of a Savior that you're going to see face to face, to the glory of a King that is truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to the one that every demon in hell fears and trembles when they hear just the name. Those who are listening, you're not saved. Don't you want to come to him now? Don't you want to turn to the Savior now? Don't you want to bow down right now? You, as the Word of God says, call on the name of the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. So right now, you call on the Lord. You call on him. You ask him to come into your life. You turn to him and repent of all sin. Renounce your demons. Renounce the lies. Renounce the secret societies. Renounce it all. May God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, give you empowerment to do so. And now turn to Jesus. Believe on him. Accept him by faith. Say, Lord Jesus, here I am. By faith alone, I accept you. Come into my life. Save me. Let the Spirit of God come into me. I renounce sin. I renounce all of this. I repent. I turn away from all of this. I turn to the Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't care. Intel agents, do that. Monitors, do that. And those, by God's providence, globally listening, You're not listening by chance. You're listening by God's design, by the prayers, because the Lord pursues you and comes to save you. Russ Dizdar, Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast, remember us in your prayers, especially this weekend. Keep alert tonight, October 31st. Pray it up. Go out. Do some good in Jesus' name. Keep us in support. Thank you so much. Good night.